We spoke a couple of weeks ago about the need to make sure we are children of God. I hope all of you were there to hear, or if you were not here by some chance, you can always go and order this audio CD from the church office, because it's a very, very important subject for us to make sure that we are actually children of God and not just assuming or taking it for granted. Okay. Now we want to look at what comes after we become born again. And what's the first thing we should do after we are born again? So let's look at the book called the Acts of the Apostles and see what those early Christians did after they came to the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. So then, those who had received the word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So what we see here is that immediately after they became children of God, they wanted to start growing as children of God. You know, all babies are born as babies, yes, but they need to grow up. Like that, when we are born into the family of God, we are still spiritually speaking babies still, and we need to grow spiritually. So what did these people do? They got baptized, and they continually devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So we have a short list of things that we need to do after we are born again. Baptized, devoting ourselves to the teaching and to fellowship with one another, breaking of bread, that's a communion, and to prayer. So this is what the first Christians did. But what was the first thing that they did after they became children of God? They got baptized. What was the thing that they heard, the word that they heard from the apostles? The apostles themselves told them, verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The word that they heard from the apostle was, repent, believe, be baptized, like that. So they repented, they believed, and the next thing they did was, they got baptized. So, last time when we spoke, when I spoke, I spoke about being born again, becoming children of God, believing in Jesus. Those who responded honestly, sincerely at that time, we believe, were actually born again on that day. You know, we were able to say a prayer from our heart, and if we prayed that sincerely, God has heard that prayer and God has responded by making us children of God. That is what would have happened when we repented from our sins and we believed in Jesus. But then what happens after that? The first thing we need to do after we become children of God is to get baptized in water. Now, many people are of the opinion that baptism is, after all, an external ritual. Why should we go through all these rituals? We left some other churches which were ritualistic or formal and without meaning and all that. Now we have come to a church where, and our relationship with God is now meaningful. Why should we go back to rituals, external activities and things like that? So there are many people who have that kind of a doubt in their mind. What they are saying as an explanation to themselves and to other people is, faith is what is important. It is by faith in Jesus that you are born again. You are already born again by faith. Then why do you have to go through this thing called water baptism? They say it's a ritual, it's meaningless. But the problem is, the problem with this kind of thinking is, that's not how Jesus thought about it. Jesus paid a lot of attention and importance to this water baptism. Just before he was taken up to heaven, Jesus told the apostles, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he was telling the apostles, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what we see very clearly at this point is, Jesus wants the gospel to be preached all over the world. First, people should repent, they should believe in Jesus, and the next thing they should do is get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it is something that Jesus paid great attention to himself. And one more thing, this is a verse which many people may not be very familiar with, but please look into it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 19. Matthew 5 verse 19, Jesus said, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called the least in the kingdom of God, heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So whenever Jesus gives a commandment, whether we think it's a small commandment or a big commandment, Jesus wants us to obey every single commandment that he gives us. He's God. He's the one who died for us. He's the one who saved us from sin, placed us in heaven, gave us life when we were dead in sin. He's the one who's telling us, go and preach the gospel, make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey every commandment that I have given you. And one of them is, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the peculiar thing is that he didn't just stop there by saying all these things. He did it himself. We know that story about how Jesus got baptized in water. Now look at Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, blameless, sinless, had never done a single sin in all his life, not even in his thoughts. Such a person, at the age of 30, he says, I want to get baptized. Now John the baptizer, I'm saying baptizer because we don't want to get confused with the Baptist church, but we are just saying John the baptizer, he said, how can you ask me to baptize you? You need to baptize me because I'm the needy person. You are the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But Jesus said, you know what he said? He said, permit it this time, Matthew 3:15. Jesus said, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He was sinless. He had nothing to repent of. He himself was the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't have to believe in somebody else in order to get saved. But he came as an example for us. He not only to die for us in our place, but he also wanted to give us an example to follow how a godly person should live on this earth. He gave us a godly example, and at each step of our life he identified with us. So he said, it is important for you people to be obedient to me in baptism. So I myself am taking your place, identifying myself with you. And even though in a logical sense there is no need for me to get baptized, I am doing it as an example to you. Permit it at this time to fulfill this, because we need to fulfill all righteousness. We need to do everything in the right way. So Jesus gave so much importance to what we would, what some people would call as a mere external ritual. He gave so much of importance to it. Once we understand the meaning of what we do in baptism, then we will also understand, yes, it is an important thing. Okay. If Jesus thought that it was important for him to do it, can any one of us say, no, it's not important for me, my faith is sufficient for me, I'm saved by grace, therefore I don't need to do anything like that? We can argue, but once we stand before God and God shows us the example of Jesus himself, we have nothing to argue about, no excuse to give. Jesus himself went this way and he asked us to follow. So there is no excuse for us. The problem is, we need to understand what the meaning of this external act is in order to understand its importance in the sight of God. Now, when we have another external act in the church, every other Sunday, the communion, the breaking of bread, we know it's not an external act, it's not a ritual, it's not meaningless, because whenever we do it, we think about what Jesus has done for us, how he had to die in our place, how his body was broken for us, how he shed his blood for us. We remember the meaning, so then we partake of that communion or the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper, as different people call that. We participate in it meaningfully with a sincere heart. So in a similar way, once we understand the meaning of water baptism, we can take part in it meaningfully. One thing we must remember, these people, these 3,000 people I was mentioning about from the Acts of the Apostles, Peter was preaching and 3,000 people believed and were baptized immediately after they believed. Probably, very possibly, they had no idea about the meaning of water baptism. They had no idea, because Peter didn't teach enough to these people to say, this is what it means, this is what it symbolizes. No, they had no such idea. They had simple faith. They said, Peter said, repent, believe, be baptized. So they did that. Very simple faith. So for many of us, that itself is sufficient. I was a sinner, God saved me, now he tells me to get baptized, I will get baptized. No questions, no need for explanations, any such thing. Jesus said, do this, I will do this, even if I can't understand or any such thing. That's a very good way of life, especially when we begin. These people were the first converts to faith, and they did not understand the meaning of baptism or anything, but they just made it a matter of obedience. In order for us to understand the meaning of this act that we do, water baptism, let's look at two passages in the New Testament. One of them is a rather lengthy passage, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Romans chapter 6, 1 to 7, please read it. Look at these verses in your Bible as I read it slowly. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that Christ, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. I am emphasizing the key phrases in this passage. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. knowing then that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. In simple words, what water baptism represents is what happened to us spiritually when we were born again. That's the meaning. That's so whenever we think about water baptism, when we are baptized in water, this is the meaning. It represents, it demonstrates, or it signifies what happened to us when we were born again. So when Jesus died on the cross, we know, most of us know, that when Jesus died on the cross, he died in our place. He died for us. He did not die for his sins. He had no sins. He died because our sins were placed on him. And that's how we get forgiveness of sins. Not because we can earn it. We can't earn it. We can receive it as a gift because the punishment has already been given out to Jesus in our place. We know that. But there is one other thing we need to know about what happened when Jesus was hanging there on the cross. That is to realize that when Jesus was crucified, we were crucified with him. In other words, when Jesus was crucifying, it was as if it was not he, but we were lying there on the cross and dying. That's, in a sense, that's what happened. Because when he died, he was dying in our place. In a sense, we can understand that when Jesus died on the cross, we were dying on the cross for our sins. Galatians chapter 1 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So this verse, Galatians 1:20, actually in a very simple way describes the meaning of water baptism, or what we are signifying when we go through water baptism. In other words, on the cross we died, because we were placed in Jesus. Not just we, the whole world. He died for the sins of the whole world. So the whole people who have ever lived, who are living now, who may be living later on, all of their sins were placed on Jesus. It's as if we were there on the cross and dying. So what does this dying mean? When we say we died on the cross, what does it actually mean to us in spiritual terms? What does it mean to us? It means that at that point, when we chose Jesus to be our Savior, we are bidding farewell to our old life. That life is dead and gone. And we are coming into a new life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We not only died on the cross, but Jesus rose from the dead. So we also rose up to a new life. So basically, it's a simple truth. When we are baptized, we are placing, we are demonstrating that our old life is gone. It's now being buried. That means put into the water. Our old life is buried. And when we come out of the water, we are saying that now we have come into a resurrection life, a new life given to us by Jesus Christ. It's a very, very simple meaning. Once we understand this meaning, it's no longer a ritual, a meaningless external thing. Why should we do that? All those things disappear when we understand that this is the significance, this is the meaning of the word baptism. Now, of course, the word baptism itself was not originally in English till the King James Bible was translated. It was not a word in English. It was taken from the Greek word called baptisma. Those people at that time, they didn't want to translate that word baptisma into plain English for some reason. I won't get into that now. So instead of translating it, they transliterated it. They took that word and made it into a new English word called baptism. So the original meaning of the word baptism was lost in this process of translation or transliteration. What it originally meant was immersion. So actually, instead of saying this word baptized, baptized, baptized and all that in the Bible, it should have been translated as immersed, immersed, immersed. That should have been the simplest thing to do. But unfortunately, they didn't do it that way, and that caused a lot of confusion among people. And now people are trying to argue what is the right way to get baptized, and should it be by sprinkling, or should it be by putting a cross on the head with water, and or should it be a ducking under the water? All these arguments and discussions are going on simply because those people, for their own reason, did not translate that word baptisma into immersion. But once we know it means immersion, that means when we are immersed into this water, that is saying that our whole life is gone, it's dead, and we are burying it. Of course, this water represents the ground in which we get buried. Now here it's a temporary demonstration. So we bury our whole life into this water, and then we come out in the newness of life, the new life that God gives us when we believe in Jesus. So this is the very simple meaning of baptism. Now immediately it becomes clear that this baptism becomes meaningful only for people who are born again. Of course, it's not for babies. Babies unfortunately have no idea what they are going through. They could very well have been in a temple doing some puja or in a mosque doing something else. They have no idea, they have no control, they have no choice in what their parents are forcing them to do. So, of course, that is meaningless. That is a meaningless ritual which people are doing because of tradition. But to really get baptized into water is possible only for people who have actually experienced this rebirth in their life, and now they are testifying to it in front of the whole world. I was a sinner, Jesus died for me, I died, my whole life is gone. Jesus has given me a new life. That is what I am doing through this baptism. So it is very clear that genuine water baptism is only for people who have already been born again. It also becomes clear that it's not infant baptism versus adult baptism, because adults also may not be born again. Then it's a meaningless thing even for them. It's not whether they do it deliberately or anything, because there are so many people who assume that if I go and get baptized, God will be very happy with me. So he will take me to heaven. I was baptized also. You know, I belong to this church, so you have to take me to heaven. Some people get baptized in order to be saved. But that's the wrong way around. Baptism is for people who have already been saved in order to show what God has done in their life. It's a testimony before God and before people. Now, to get baptized in order to be saved is putting the cart before the horse, as they say. Now, it's totally upside down. And it's also meaningless for an adult to say everybody at my age in my church, everybody around this age gets baptized, so therefore I also should get baptized. That's also meaningless, because we are just doing it in the sight of people to impress people or to join the club or whatever it is. There is no meaning in our life. It's the same as sitting here and taking part in the communion, because everybody does it. If what will people think if I don't do it, so I also do it. Meaningless. And Jesus especially warns about the communion, don't do this meaninglessly. Because it's a serious thing, don't play around with it. It's not a game, it's not a social activity, it has significance. If you can't do it meaningfully, please don't do it. God warns us in 1 Corinthians 11. When it comes to baptism also, we must remember this is a meaningful thing that God wants us to do, just to demonstrate to the people, to God, in front of all the people, that God has done something in my life. I was a sinner just like anybody else. God had mercy on me. I have trusted in Him now. I have been forgiven all my sins. Now I am a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am a baby, spiritually speaking. Now I need to grow into the likeness of Jesus. In other words, I want to become more and more like Jesus. That is what we show when we go into the water to get baptized. So this is something that we consciously decide to do after we are born again. You know, in this traditional mainline churches, they have this tradition of, within quotations, baptizing babies. It's not really a baptism, it's not immersion at all, first of all. Secondly, most importantly, they are not believers in Jesus Christ, these babies, they have no idea. But they themselves seem to know, these churches seem to know that what they are doing is meaningless because they feel it's not adequate. So they've started another ceremony called the confirmation, which is not there in the Bible. Why would there be any need for confirmation if the original so-called baptism was good enough? It wasn't good enough, and they themselves knew it wasn't good enough. So they added this extra thing to make up for the mistake they did earlier. But everybody knows you can't correct one mistake by doing another mistake. Okay. So confirmation also is not enough to balance out this mistake that we may have done in our childhood, or we didn't do it, our parents did it when we were children, babies. That doesn't make up for true baptism. So baptism is neither for babies nor for adults. Baptism is for believers, or in a proper sense, baptism is for disciples of Jesus Christ. Those who have had their sins forgiven, those who have set their heart to following Jesus wherever He takes us, to those people, water baptism becomes meaningful. Now we must be very clear in our mind that baptism is not required to get saved. Baptism is something we do after we are saved. Baptism is not required for us to get saved. Because if you read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says very clearly that we are saved by grace through faith. No mention about baptism or any other thing that we have to do. And it says, it is not by works, which means it is not by anything that we do, like getting baptized or joining a church or doing anything like that. Salvation is not like that. Salvation is simply by faith, by grace, through faith. There is no need for getting baptized in order to be saved. In other words, we can say even people who are not baptized can be in heaven. I'm not making an excuse for not getting baptized, but what I'm saying is this is not a part of salvation. It is something that we do after salvation. After we are saved, we are showing, yes, we are saved by God's grace. This is what God has done for us. Therefore, I will get baptized. It is not something we do to join a club or join a church or become a part of a doctrine or any such thing. It is because of something real that God has done in our life. Sometimes people get confused with this particular verse in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. People say, read this verse and get confused. It reads like this: though he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. So it looks as if baptism is required for salvation. This is where, you know, I keep telling you about this book, Understanding the Bible, how to interpret the Bible in the right way, which means many times when we have a passage which seems difficult to understand, we need to see what other passages in the Bible talk about it. Then there will be clarity about these difficult passages. So here, actually, we didn't read the full verse. The rest of the verse goes on to say, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So who is the one who is going to be condemned? The one who did not believe. Not the one who is not baptized. Baptism doesn't save us. It is faith. It is grace which we receive through faith. Faith that saves us. Then you remember the story of the thief on the cross. He was at his dying moment and he went into paradise. You know that story. Of course, he had no chance to get baptized even if he wanted to. But that's not the only story. You remember Cornelius, the first Gentile convert to Christianity. What happened when Peter was preaching there in Cornelius' house? As he was preaching, we assume Cornelius believed. Cornelius and many other people who were listening, they believed, they were born again in their heart, and God bore witness to that by baptizing them with the Holy Spirit. After that, they got baptized in water. So what it means is, if you look at that sequence, first they believed, God filled them with the Holy Spirit, and then they got baptized in water. So baptism was not necessary to be saved. It came afterwards. Even in Cornelius' case, not just the thief on the cross, even in the case of Cornelius, that happened like that. So I'm saying this again and again to remove the idea that some people have, thinking that baptism is necessary for us to get baptized. I know one particular church which specializes in water baptism. They think that by getting people baptized somehow, they will be saved, so they are willing to give gifts to people who will get baptized. Okay, so there are lines of men and women standing to get baptized, and the women get a sari, and the man gets a shirt and dhoti and all that, and they're lining up to get baptized. It's a ritual. It's meaningless. So baptism is not necessary to get baptized. Baptism is meaningful only for people who are already saved. Now the question is, what can we do if we have already been, within quotations, baptized as babies? Is it necessary to get baptized again? This is a question that comes up in many people's minds. But if we understand these things in the right way, there is no real doubt at all. Because what our parents did to us when we were babies was meaningless. We didn't have a choice. We didn't obey God in any way. Even if we got a little older and we said, yes, I agree with what my parents did in the form of confirmation, even then, the fact remains that we haven't obeyed Jesus in baptism. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel, you know, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. We never obeyed those commandments. Somebody did something. It could as well have been in a puja, in a temple. Then we would have said, no, we were not responsible for that puja. I didn't do anything. My parents did it. In the same way, we are not responsible for what our parents did in terms of infant baptism or things like that. So again, when we realize that baptism is for people who are already born again, and they are the ones who are qualified to obey God in baptism, and that's the first thing they need to do. Our life becomes a series of obedience to God. The more we understand from God, from God's word, we obey Him more and more. That's how we grow spiritually. This is the first thing that God asks us to do after we are born again. The first thing we do is get baptized in water, which is a very simple thing to do, not very difficult in many, many ways. If we decide, we can do that. Now, there is a problem. There is a problem for some people that when they want to get baptized, there is a lot of opposition from traditional families. Especially for people or parents who grew up in their traditional way, and they say that, no, you have already got baptized. We baptized you, we christened you, and all such things. No, don't get baptized again, which is wrong. They misquote this verse. There is only one baptism. That's a different verse, but let me not go into that at this time. But what they are trying to do is trying to protect their tradition. Let me say what happened to me. Many, many years ago, I was born as a baby, if you can believe it. I was born as a baby, and my parents were in the CSI church. They baptized me, it's so-called baptism, as a baby. As I grew up, as a student, when I came to the Lord, when I was born again, somebody gave me a challenge, who was with me at that time. He gave me a challenge. He said, "Have you been baptized in water?" I said, "Of course I have been baptized as a baby." Then he said, No, did you decide to get baptized as a baby?" I said, "No, it doesn't matter. Baptism is after all a ritual. It's a meaningless ritual. I have been saved by faith, by grace. That's all that matters. Thief on the cross and all such things," I said. But then this man challenged me. He said, "Can you do one thing? You give up all your biases and prejudices and all that. Go to the Bible, read it from one end to the other. See whatever the Bible tells you about baptism and see if you can justify your infant baptism. But can you promise to me before you do this, if you find that God is asking you to get baptized, will you do it?" Of course, I said, "Whatever God wants me to do, I'm willing to do it, but I don't think God will ask me to get baptized." He said, "Okay, anyway, read it." So I went. I went and sat home and read it. I became convinced that this is the meaning of baptism. I was a young man at that time, and I decided to get baptized. Now the opposition began. Now my father was a top shot in the CSI church at that time. And you can imagine the kind of implications it would have for him if his son got baptized in, you know, as a believer, as an adult and all such things. So he said, no, don't do this. And he sent me a book written by one of those Church of England preachers to tell me why child baptism, infant baptism is okay. So when I was reading it, what I found there is, Bishop so-and-so says this, Canon so-and-so says this, this person said this. I said, "I am not interested in what this person or that person says. I want to see what God says in His Word." I was young and zealous and all that, so I said all that. So, and they had no answer. Now then, the next thing came. So I was told through somebody, my father sent a message, "You know, your mother has BP problems. Don't do anything now. You will be responsible for what happens to her. So don't do anything now." So at that time, somehow God gave me some confidence, and I said, "No, if I am going to honor God by obeying Him, God won't let any such thing happen." And nothing happened. I got baptized. It was a major turning point in my spiritual life, where I was choosing to obey God rather than people. I was choosing to go against traditions in order to obey God. It became a big turning point in my life. And thankfully, my mother also got baptized at the age of 90, many, many years later. So there may be opposition. There may be all kinds of arguments. But this becomes a test of whether we want to obey God above everybody else, above everything else. We want to stand with God, and that becomes a major point in our life. Jesus said, Matthew 8, verse 38. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. Another thing, practical thing I want to make clear is this. Maybe we became believers, we were born again and we were baptized, but at that time we had no understanding of what it meant. Now we have more understanding. Does it mean that now we have to get baptized with meaning again? No. These people, these 3,000 people who got baptized, they had no understanding of what it means. But they obeyed, in simple terms, they obeyed. So if we have obeyed as believers, as children of God, we don't have to get baptized every time we get some more understanding, some greater revelation or any such thing. It's not necessary. But the fact is that we should obey God ourselves consciously, deliberately and all that. Now let's look at the second passage which talks about baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 18 to 21. This is a difficult passage to understand. It says, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting on in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So when we read this passage, I read it fully because I wanted to establish the context. We shouldn't pick verses out of context. But at the same time, we have to say that there are certain aspects in this passage which are difficult to understand in simple words. It can be explained, but let's not get into that because we'll get sidetracked. But let's take this last thing that we were reading there. Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now again, this verse is not saying that baptism is needed for us to be saved. No. Because this word save has many different meanings. I have mentioned some many months ago when I have talked here, there are three basic parts in salvation: justification, sanctification, glorification. They are all called saved. But they are different aspects, different phases of salvation. So whenever we may hear the word saved, we should not just assume that it is talking about the initial born-again experience. No, this is talking about something else. Here when the word saved is used, let's say what it means. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but, and this is what we should look at, an appeal to God for a good conscience. Here it is not talking about the forgiveness of our sins, our being born again or anything, but what Peter is saying here is, when we get baptized, that means we are publicly taking a stand for Christ. When we go into the water and come out of the water, what we are saying is, on one side we are making a testimony before people. This is what God has done for me. I was a sinner, my old life is now buried, now I have received a new life. That is what we are testifying to people around us who are watching us. But this passage is talking about our response, our what we mean in relationship to God. We are making an appeal to God for a good conscience. What we are saying is, Lord, you have done all these things for me by taking this obedient step of baptism. What I am saying is, I want to live the rest of my life for you with a good conscience. I want to be obedient to you. I want to love you above everything else. I want to give you the first place in my life, and I want to be a faithful person for the rest of my life. So we are making an appeal to God for a good conscience in the way that we are taking this first step of obedience in baptism in water. So this is the thing we do in relationship with God. There is the other thing we do in relationship to people who are watching us, people who hear about what we have done. That is to testify that this is what God has done for me. And then we are testifying to God, Lord, now that I am doing it, what I mean is from my heart, I want to love you, I want to walk with you, I want to obey you in everything. Please help me, Lord. This is what baptism means in the second aspect of it. So now we can understand what it means. It's not meaningless at all. It is meaningless if we do it in a meaningless way, but we don't have to do it in a meaningless way now that we can know it. So let me just conclude like this. Some of us here have not been baptized. So certainly I'm making an appeal to you that you should certainly obey God. The first thing you should have done after you became a believer was to get baptized. If you haven't done it, it's not too late. Do it now. 25th of this month, there is an opportunity for baptism. Consider it as a very serious thing to do. This is the first thing that you can do in your testimony before people and in your testimony before God, your appeal to God. But I also understand practical limitations. There could be even life and death situations when it comes to baptism in terms of certain religions. You know what I am talking about? So we have to do this wisely, yes. But please understand this is what God wants us to do in this public testimony of our relationship with God and our desire to live with Him. Those of us who are already baptized, what shall we do? Now that we understand the meaning of it, we can rededicate our life to saying to God, Lord, I remember the day when I got baptized. I want to live for you. I want you to be the most important person in my life. I want to love you more than everything else, more than anything else. I want to obey every single thing that you tell me, whether it's a small commandment or a big commandment. I want to obey you, Lord. I want to be faithful to you. I want to be accountable to you. Please help me, Lord. So we can do that even right now. Okay, shall we stand up? May the love of God, our Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us. Help us, Lord, in the rest of our life to be loyal to you, faithful to you, obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stay around for a cup of coffee or tea and fellowship. Thank you.